We do have a massive deficit with Ireland, because Ireland was very smart. They took our pharmaceutical companies away from presidents that didn't know what they were doing. And, you know, it's too bad that happened. It's a tremendous job I give. Look, the Irish are smart. Yes, smart people. And you took our pharmaceutical companies and other companies, but, you know, through taxation and proper taxation, they made it very, very good for companies to move over there. And the European Union treats us very badly. They have for years. I saw that. I had it out with them in my first term. It did well, but we had to solve other problems. And we did. But European Union's been very tough. And it's our turn, too. You know, we get a turn at that also. It does create ill will. And as you know, we're going to be doing reciprocal tariffs. So whatever they charge us, we're charging them. Nobody can complain about that. Whatever it is, it doesn't even matter what it is. If they charge us 25 or 20% or 10% or 2% or 200%, then that's what we're charging them.
As Donald Trump there speaking to reporters in the Oval Office on Wednesday during his meeting with Taoiseach Micheál Martin. The tensions between the EU and the US deepened during the week, with the president threatening to put tariffs of 200% on alcoholic beverages and pledging to close the trade deficit between Ireland and the US. And as you heard there, directly taking aim at US pharmaceutical companies based here. Well, yesterday I spoke to shoppers at the Briar Hill shopping centre in Galway. That's a city that many multinational companies call home. And I asked those people there if they were concerned about the effect US tariffs might have on jobs here.
Well, I think it's a lot of pondering on Trump's behalf. I think he just says everything out and hoping that if half of it sticks, you know, it's a win.
Yes, I think it would be quite a big concern for local businesses. And I know there's a lot of companies that make whiskey and gin in Ireland. So they would be, I'm sure, very concerned.
And for the knock-on effect of, say, you know, jobs that, you know, may not be directly in the pharmaceutical sector, but obviously benefit from all the wages that are coming in that sector. Do you think that'd be a concern here?
Yes, definitely. It's just at the moment, everything is a bit crazy. Just every day there's a different story coming from Donald Trump, so you just don't know.
I think if a product like a pharmacy product is something that's essential and there aren't alternatives, then the price is what they call inelastic, and it has to be bought by the consumer on the American side. A lot of those products are probably inelastic, and we'll be able to ride it out for a couple of years, and everything hopefully might be restored to normal again under the next administration.
I think a lot of the companies that are based in Galway are settled in. I don't think it affects the companies at the moment. Maybe in the future, if there's future companies coming into Ireland, I think it will affect them, but I think the likes of your Boston Scientific and what's there already, I think they're hopefully here to stay.
I think the impact will be serious, given that we're a big exporter. I wouldn't be too concerned about the whiskey though, but I'm talking about jobs, I'm talking about people's reliance on the Americans, on the pharma care and all that kind of stuff. I think some deal will have to be done between the EU and the US, and I think the President of America basically is looking for money. That's what it's all about. Money to prop up the American losses over the years, and they're looking for their money back. There's a lot of pharmaceutical places where I live out in Gaeltacht na Gailleadh, and they will be at risk as well, and we can't have that.
I saw his talk yesterday on the television, and he was saying that it was totally wrong for all of these companies to come to Ireland, and that if he was in power, under no circumstances would he allow them to come to Ireland. So my question would be, would he pull them out within the next 4 years, pull them out of Galway, which would be detrimental to Galway?
You'd like to think that, I suppose, with all the pharmaceutical companies around the town, that it wouldn't have an effect, but you'd imagine it would have a knock-on effect, and it would be quite worrying for obviously normal shoppers and obviously trade as well, trade in the wider international kind of sense. But I guess it's up to the powers up in Dublin to figure that one out, and hopefully Trump won't be too hard on us.
And how important are they to the area?
Oh, sure, it's massive. Genuinely massive. We thought years ago when digital shut down in an IT side of things that the town would be shut down, but with the amount of medical devices companies in the city at the moment, it'd be detrimental, you'd imagine. But there was a huge bounce back when digital closed. It could be the same, God forbid, if something did happen, but the town would be
desolate. The town would be shut down if something like that happened.
I'm currently working in a manufacturing company in Galway City, and I don't think it would have too much of a problem because companies like Merrin Medical, Boston and so on have good relations with American owners. A lot of companies come over here over the last few years and they like how the Irish work. And a lot of people work for companies and they trust them.
So you reckon deep roots, plenty of investment here, it'll be hard to shift them?
Yeah, and I've noticed that a lot of companies have projects down the line for the next few years. New products are coming, being built in Galway. So I see it as a great future for manufacturing companies and pharmaceutical companies in Galway.
This is only the start, because I have a feeling he will go further. And I'd say we're in trouble unless the government really does their work and Europe does their work.
I think because a lot of the pharmaceuticals and medical devices produced in Ireland find their home in the States for the treatment of American citizens and elderly American citizens, the chances of extreme tariffs on pharmaceuticals or medical devices is quite small. Therefore, I would say that the medical device sector in Galway is safe for the time being.
Now, that was some of the people I spoke to in Briar Hill in Galway yesterday, where there were, of course, several large US multinationals, Medtronic, Boston Scientific, Integer and more. Now, listening to that, were Minister for Agriculture, Food and Fisheries and the Marine, Martin Hayden, Kathleen Funchin, Sinn Féin, MEP for Ireland South and Sinead Gibney, Social Democrats, TD for Dublin Rathdown. Regardless of the immediate impact on the presence of multinationals here in Ireland, Martin Hayden, the investment decisions that are being made in the US currently, it'll have to have an effect on those, wouldn't it?
Yeah, look, first of all, you know, Ireland and the US have a really significant and mutually beneficial economic relationship and have had for many decades. Within that, the US is a really key market for us to export into, where many Irish companies successfully are. And that's what my colleagues on the St. Patrick's Day missions around the world, and particularly in the United States, are bringing over that message about that level of investment. The Irish companies who are employing hundreds of thousands of American people in America, the sixth biggest investor of a country into the United States. But similarly, you know, we benefit here from that engagement here. From the perspective of the contributors there, they're very much looking at the jobs element, which is really key from those foreign direct investment companies who are based here. And they're not just based here because of corporation tax. They're here because Ireland has a talented and educated workforce. We are a foothold, an English-speaking foothold with a common law system in Europe that has a, you know, consumer base of 500 million people. There's a lot of very good reasons why we're an attractive place to do business. If you take from my own perspective in the area of agriculture food, you know, our agri-food exports, United States is our second biggest market after the UK. With 2 billion euros worth of trade going over there. Our butter industry alone is worth maybe half a billion, and Irish whiskey is up on half a billion as well. So there's a lot of concern in those sectors. I've been engaging with them directly, dealing with them very closely, obviously dealing in Europe with my colleagues in Brussels as well. I'll be back out in Brussels next week meeting with Commissioner Hansen, who I have a close working relationship with, and I travel to the United States in the first week of April as
now,
well. For
what you've gone through there, I mean, you know, multinational making a logical decision for a reason to stay in Ireland. There is the tax benefit, there is the workforce, the talented pool there. But the policy in the White House is about redressing the trade deficit between Europe and the US, and particularly Ireland and the US. And that statistic about being the sixth biggest investor in the US was brushed aside by Donald Trump. He still wants to address this trade deficit. So, I mean, in the face of that, what's the strategy?
Well, so, like, first of all, the strategy is we're very much engaging with Europe because the EU deal with the EU with the trade competencies and are the ones who negotiate directly with the United States. But as you saw this week, and as you see in the coming weeks, we use our position and that close relationship with the US to tell our stories as well. Look, we really regret President Trump imposing the tariffs on steel and aluminium during the week from the EU and other trade partners. There's no justification for these imposition of tariffs. Tariffs hurt everybody. They create inflation. They hurt consumers on both sides. The EU obviously has announced its response to those tariffs, and they won't be implemented until the 1st of April. And that gives us a bit of time here to negotiate, to keep ongoing dialogue open, which is very much the case here. We have seen, while President Trump has announced measures regarding Mexico and Canada, there was delays made, there was engagement, there was opportunities to negotiate, and we very much want to do that. And I will be using my position to articulate the impact that this could have, particularly in relation to Irish products that could get caught up in this.
And you're going to the States as well, are you?
Yeah, so I'm leading a full trade mission to the United States, including Washington, with a number of significant political meetings in the first week in April.
So what tale can you tell in America when Donald Trump is complaining about the lack of agricultural exports from the US into Europe? I mean, is there going to be reciprocal access in the markets there? That's highly unlikely, isn't it? So what story are you selling to the Americans?
The story I'm telling is of Irish food companies who are based in America, who employ American people. 200,000 American people employed by 770 Irish companies. Many of them are Irish agri-food companies who have employed American people who source their products locally in America. And that's why when I travel to a number of different states, I'll be highlighting that level of investment that Irish companies make there. It's very much a mutually beneficial relationship. From that perspective, if you look at the products to go both ways, it is something that these trade tariffs will only hurt both sides.
Okay.
Consumers on both sides as well.
Kathleen Funchin, from what you've heard there, what would you be doing over and above that?
Yeah, so first of all, I think it's obviously a very difficult situation because you're dealing with somebody that you're really unsure of what their next move is going to be. And I think it's unlike any other situation we've seen. And tariffs are announced and then there's a delay announced and then they're not going ahead and then they're increased and all sorts. So we are in very uncertain times. I think it is really important that Europe kind of holds strong together in relation to negotiations. We absolutely have to figure out how to have negotiations, because at the end of the day, for ordinary people living in America and for ordinary people living right throughout Europe, they're the ones that are going to pay the highest price if there is a huge increase in the cost of goods. So, but within that, I think it is very important that the industries, some of them have been highlighted, you know, Ireland South obviously has a lot of pharmaceutical companies, also a lot of agri-food, and there's other companies as well potentially affected. So it's important from an Irish perspective, and we're involved with those negotiations at an EU level, that we are very conscious of those and ensure that those kind of industries are front and centre. But I do think we need to really try and kind of push the negotiation side. And then ultimately, if that is not going to happen, because we can't have uncertainty either. I think that's the biggest cause of concern for any, you know, businesses and people working in the various sectors as well. We do need to have a plan. We need to see the government putting a plan in place here for businesses, whether it's something similar to what we had with Brexit, you know, in terms of supports. And then I think separate to all this, you know, we do really need to look at our own Indigenous business here and our small and medium-sized business sector and see how we can be better supporting them to expand as well. Because a lot of them, particularly, I'll finish on this point, in rural communities, still struggle with access to broadband and stuff like that. So let's look at what we can do here as well to be supporting some of our own small and medium-sized businesses.
Okay. Sinead Gibney, from what you've heard there, what would you be advising the Minister on his trade mission next week and indeed the government in general to be doing within Europe and bilaterally with the US to try and mitigate the effects of these tariffs?
Well, I think within Europe we need to play our part, obviously, within the negotiations, and as has been said, it is at an EU level trade competence. But I agree, this is, as the Washington Post has said, the dumbest trade war in history. We do not know what's going to happen from one day to the next, and we all have to remember that Trump ultimately always is speaking to his base. He's saying these things to win favour within his base, to make things look like wins when they're only half wins. So we have to, you know, deal with him in that way. So Ireland absolutely has to play our part within Europe. But I would also say that, I mean, I think out of the meeting, like we've had so much talk in the last few days about the trade part of the discussion on Wednesday. But really, it's the least contentious thing that Donald Trump said. I mean, it's no secret that Ireland has for many, many years created situations in which it's favourable for multinationals to locate themselves here. So it's no surprise that he's going to see an easy win in closing those loopholes to bring profits back to the US. I would have more concerns about that profit shifting, by the way, than I would about the jobs relocation, because that's a much more long-term piece. And I do agree that obviously there's lots of reasons. I've worked in a multinational myself. There's lots of reasons why they locate here beyond the tax. But that profit shifting is something that's going to happen. And the government has known for many, many years now that we have a windfall tax, 50% of which economists say is volatile based on those loopholes and based on the fact that it will be easy for Trump now to shift those profits back to the US. So we need to focus on Indigenous businesses. We need to focus on the development here for entrepreneurship and innovation and business within our own island. But we also need to address the other things that happened in that meeting beyond trade. I mean, our Taoiseach sat there and nodded and smiled while the leader of the US went on a tirade against immigrants, went on a tirade against the trans community, and sat there and nodded and smiled in a way that I think many, many Irish people were very unhappy with. We saw the Irish government yesterday launch their Paddy's Day video talking about the values of human rights, inclusion and equality. That was not represented in that discussion. And I have real concerns over the fact that there is a far-right rhetoric coming from the White House that leader after leader from Europe is not challenging when they sit beside.
Well, but look, I mean, you know, had the Taoiseach decided to take on Donald Trump on some of those issues, we had the dry run for that, you might say, when President Zelensky of Ukraine went in. It turned into a dust-up, and within the next 24 hours, President Zelensky had turned around. He was signing up to the deal that he didn't end up signing up to on the day, and he was saying the meeting was regrettable. And at the end of the day, the White House still got what it wanted, and it resulted in a partial climb down by President Zelensky. So what would have been achieved by a robust dust-up with Donald Trump?
It doesn't have to be a robust dust-up, and the Taoiseach is in a very different situation to Zelensky. So I think it's just about going beyond the jocularity around socks and actually challenging the president on, for example, his ethnic cleansing comments around Gaza. There are ways that you can do that as a skilled diplomat and politician that don't result in dust-ups. Okay. And that's what didn't happen. And I think what I'm seeing, the issue I have is that centrist politicians are being pulled to the right. Progressive left politicians are the ones who need to be there challenging.
Martin Hayden, on that issue of challenging Donald Trump on some of the issues that the Irish government clearly wouldn't agree with them on, could it have been more clear, the difference of position?
So look, there was a series of meetings, political engagements that the Taoiseach would have engaged in. The Taoiseach is out in America at present. All of our ministers and ministers of state, the vast majority, are abroad on missions at the minute. You know, I've been on many, whether it's in Asia or whether it's in America or wherever else, where you do, during the discussions on trade, when you talk about those mutually beneficial engagements, where you do raise issues around human rights and many different elements. And I've no doubt the key topics that are relevant in America have been discussed in those meetings. I have absolutely no doubt about that, because that's how these conversations develop and how they go. And there's a way of doing that diplomatically where you can use that soft power that the Irish have and that we have been known for using in the UN, on the Security Council and beyond, where we get that level of access that other countries don't. But from the perspective of the trade piece and the economic interests of Ireland, that's obviously critically important. That was the main thing people were focusing on with the impending tariffs coming in this week. And that's why that ongoing work that we have with the EU in making sure that, you know, the countermeasures that they look to introduce now, that they're cognizant of the impact that could have on our economy is really important.
All right, Kathleen Funchin.
Yeah, I agree with the point Sinead is making in relation to. I know certainly a lot of people were really infuriated at the kind of laugh and a joke that was made of the housing crisis, for example, here in Ireland. And like we all know as politicians that housing is the number one issue that the vast majority of politicians
deal with. The Taoiseach who brought it up as the number one issue when he was asked.
The reason that it is an issue is because the government, not just this government, but the previous government, and Fine Gael in particular, with the long track record they have in government, have failed in relation to housing. And I know certainly for people who this weekend are facing into notices to quit, don't know where they're going on Monday or Tuesday in relation to not being able to find places to rent, not being able to access HAP supports, not being able to get a home. It wasn't a laugh and a joke for them, and I think he should have been stronger and challenged that. And I do think he should have been stronger in relation to Palestine, particularly in relation to international law and the fact that we see such a disregard for international law. There was aspects of that he could have been stronger on.
Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be back after this. We're going to be talking to Jane Liberton. She's the daughter of Philomena Lee, and she's looking at her family's fight to ensure that the survivors of Ireland's mother and baby homes in the UK have access to the Irish Redress Scheme, and indeed has called for access to that scheme to be more inclusive of the 24,000 people who've been currently left out of it.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTÉ Radio 1.